You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game, it's very important, Millie.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making this part of your regular routine. We are always appreciative of you taking us along with you. Whatever it is you're doing, wherever you're going, we are the Rain and Jays, all three of us here for a tripod. Me, John Corrales, Jay King from The Athletic, Sam Jam Packard, formerly of WEEI. A lot to get to. We asked you for Raining Jays and Raining Junk questions. You guys delivered. We're going to talk about rumors, a couple of rumors out there. There's Jamal Crawford. People are buzzing about
Jimmy Butler. He's a guy.
Jimmy Butler. Totally drew a blank on that for a second. Jimmy Butler, he's a guy that there are rumors about. But let's start on a serious note, because Marcus Smart sent out a tweet. We're recording this on Monday night, and he sent a tweet about half an hour ago before we started recording, announcing in a very heartfelt message that his mom passed away. And he had said at the end of last season that she was battling cancer. And in a long note that he wrote, basically saying goodbye to his mom, who has meant the world to him, announced that she passed on Sunday. So obviously we all send our thoughts to Marcus Smart, and she is a very important part of his life. Jay, I know you tweeted out this link. He opened up recently about his mom and how important she has been to him.
Yeah, Smart, I mean, he had a tough, tough childhood. He's dealt with so many tragedies in his life, really, from his brother passing away from cancer to a number of other things. And there was a period in his life where he could have turned a bad, bad way. And she was always the piece who kind of helped him see the bright side of life and kind of guide him to the right path. And I've always appreciated that he's so open about sharing his love for his mother. And, you know, when you hear your mother has cancer, sometimes you don't want to talk about that. And one thing about Marcus Smart, he's always seems open and raw, almost like his emotions are, he's vulnerable. And I've always appreciated that about him. I think that's one of his greatest strengths, is that he is vulnerable. And because of that, you know, a lot of people have gotten to see and hear from him how much he cared for his mother, how much his mother meant to him. So, you know, you don't know a lot about a lot of players' mothers, you know, but Smart has always preached the importance of his mother. And it's sad news, that she passed away recently, after her battle with cancer. My mom has always, this is a story I've never shared on the podcast, I don't think. I don't see why I would, but my mom has always been a huge Marcus Smart fan because he loves his mother so much.
That's nice. That's
how she judges her athletes in a lot of cases. I think she really likes the way he plays, but she also loves that he loves his mother. And when he got in that spat with Jimmy Butler a couple years ago, she said, "Jay, I need you to tell Marcus Smart something for me." And I'm like, okay, you know, when your mom says that, you do whatever your mom says. And she said, "You need to tell Marcus Smart, fuck Jimmy Butler." and so I was like, this is such a bad look. But it's my mom, so I'll do it. And so the next time the locker room was open, I tapped Marcus Smart on the shoulder. I said, "Marcus, my mom wanted me to tell you something." He's looking at me like, "What the hell is going to happen here?" And I said, my mom said, fuck Jimmy Butler, man. And he thought it was the funniest thing in the world. My mom, obviously, she was just joking. She thought it'd be really funny if I told Marcus Smart that. So I did, and he thought it was just as funny as she did. But she loves him because he loves his mother. And so it is really, really sad that she passed away.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great story. That's hilarious. So let's just leave it at that. There's not much more to say other than our thoughts go out to Marcus Smart and his family. I'm sure that he will be dedicating this upcoming season, the rest of his career, to his mom and sending messages. These players like to write messages on their shoes, on their sneakers. It's kind of a common thing. You know, I did it when I lost my friend, and players do it all the time, and I'm sure that he'll be sending those messages. So we'll be looking for those as the season goes on. But a tough time for Marcus Smart. Let's transition now into some of the rumors that have been popping up before we get to the questions. The first thing that popped up is Jimmy Butler.
Fuck Jimmy Butler.
Speaking of which.
I just want to put it out there. Jimmy Butler seems like a great dude to deal with, and there was no actual meaning behind that quote.
No.
It was just fun.
It's just funny. It's just funny. Hey, look, Jimmy Butler's out there working out with Jaylen Brown. Seems like the only thing that you can criticize Jimmy Butler for is that he works too much. Like he wants to keep playing even with. Like, he's perfect for Tibbs because he never wants to come out of the game, and Tibbs never wants to take him out of the game. But he may not want to be playing for Tibbs anymore. They're having a conversation about his future in Minnesota. He doesn't like what's going on there. He doesn't like, apparently, that they've reassembled the 2010 Bulls. And so that's triggered the wave of, oh, my God, Jimmy Butler could get traded, and what's that mean for Kyrie Irving? I don't know.
Oh, I haven't heard the Kyrie Irving part of that. I just heard the Jimmy Butler stuff. And I think his biggest problem is that they're paying max money to a guy who just doesn't try on defense in Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns, who also has suspect effort. But it wouldn't be the NBA season without some fun August rumors. And I've been trying to think about, like, what teams made sense for him. You could, like, NBA Twitter, who's just was desperate for morsels of information and something to tweet about. There, everyone was tweeting their Jimmy Butler trade. I don't think there's the perfect situation out there for him, but I didn't see the connection to Kyrie. That's some galaxy brain stuff right there.
Yeah, well, the connection to Kyrie is that Butler and Kyrie have said or have hinted, or somehow the rumor has gotten out that they want to play together. So the thought is, well, if Jimmy Butler goes somewhere, then that could be a place that Kyrie would maybe want to go. And if the Knicks trade for Butler, then they get the inside track on Kyrie. And similarly, or last week, there was the report that the Knicks have made Kyrie their first, second, third, and fourth target in free agency. So if they make a run at Butler, and if they trade for Butler and he's a Knick, then people start to say, oh, shit, is Kyrie going to be a Knick?
I'm breaking some news right now. According to sources close to the situation, the Celtics have also made Kyrie Irving their number one target in free agency.
You heard it here first. Exclusive report on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Podcasts are where news like this tend to break nowadays. How about that?
Jam with the breaking that critical news.
I don't know.
Yeah, I've heard the same per sources.
Yeah, great. I don't.
That's a second. We've got a rumor here.
We got confirmation that the Celtics will in fact target Kyrie Irving in free agency and re-signing him. People are desperate, and if Butler becomes a Knick, yeah, I guess that is intriguing. The Kyrie to the Knicks thing is a real possibility, I guess.
But what can the Knicks offer the Timberwolves that make any sense? Like Frankie Smokes, your favorite player and rookie of the year to be Kevin Knox?
Exactly. That's
he is your favorite player.
I like how he's suddenly become my favorite player.
It's Kevin Knox and Fred VanVleet, the two favorite players of the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's what it would have to be, right? It would have to be some sort of package of young players, which the Knicks would be stupid to do because they've got the money. I mean, unless they suddenly get that kind of twinge of old school Knicks of, well, if we go get this guy, then we can go get the guy we want, and now we've got Butler and Kyrie, and you get healthy Porzingis back, and you don't have to wait for Ntilikina to develop or Kevin Knox to see if he becomes what, you know, if he fulfills any promise there. You just upgrade immediately, and boom, you're back in the mix. I don't know. There's always the connection there with the Knicks and Kyrie. We talk about, like, Kyrie is also, you know, partying with Kevin Durant. He also personally recruited Gordon Hayward while he was in Cleveland. Now he gets to play with the guy that he wanted to play with. It's there's so many things that are flying out there. I don't put too much stock in those, but whatever. That's out there.
Are there teams that are a better fit for Butler? The only other thing that I saw that really, like, kind of made sense to me was one of those sweet Gary Harris centered packages from Denver. I don't know. There's just not another team out there, a package that would make sense for a player like a caliber of Jimmy Butler. I don't know. Maybe you can get cents on the dollar if he's really demanding a trade. But even that, we've seen, like, Paul George, that happened, and Kawhi, that happened. And they pretty decent returns for both of those players.
Yeah, it's weird how quickly things turned ugly in Minnesota.
I mean, there was whispers for the entire year about him.
But I'm saying he's only been there for a year. The whispers started happening almost immediately.
Yeah, but imagine looking over and seeing Andrew Wiggins just not try for 82 games in a row.
Yeah, but, like, Karl Towns and Jimmy Butler should be a heck of a duo. And meanwhile, just everything's bad over there. It's weird. I do think it's weird that Jimmy Butler's kind of on, like, Wiggins and Towns are still very much learning how to win and become winning players. Even Towns, who I think he's going to be fantastic. He already is really damn good. But he hasn't learned how to win yet. And Jimmy Butler has already won and been a winner and learned how to win. And he's like, man, I don't have time for these little kids. I don't have time to drag these little kids along. Let me get out of here, Tom. So, kind of, looking back, it was kind of predictable because those guys just haven't totally grown up yet. And maybe Towns makes a leap, or Wiggins, you know, rounds into a winning player, but it's just almost predictable strife the way those guys have kind of developed.
We'll see what happens there. I'm not so sure if he's actually going to get moved. But it's going to be very interesting in Minnesota. And I don't think if he gets moved, it's a real big thing with Kyrie. Even if he goes to the Knicks, I'm not sitting there saying, like, oh, shit, Kyrie might want to go. Because he's already got a great team here in Boston. So I'm not going to freak out about that. Another rumor that's popped up, and this brings us into our Rainin' Jays questions that people have been asking. It comes from at Washed John, which is not a burner account for me. It's it's thoughts on possibility of adding Jamal Crawford. So that rumor dropped on another podcast from Jay's boy, Jared Weiss, that there's mutual interest in Crawford and the Celtics, and there's some – so – The thoughts on the possibility of adding Jamal Crawford. Personally, I'm out. I do not want Jamal Crawford. He's been great. He's had a fantastic career. I'm not looking forward to adding another guard. We've already got a lot of guards. I'm not looking forward to adding a 39-year-old, inefficient, no defense playing guard to this team.
But have you seen his crossover, though?
Oh, yeah. That's part of his name, right? I don't know.
I don't see it either. I don't like the fit at all. He shot 33% from deep last year. He has always played an inefficient style, and he's become a little more inefficient as he's gotten older. Like, to me, the second unit for the Celtics is just going to defend. They're going to defend their asses off, right? It's Rozier and Smart, Marcus Morris, Aaron Baines, Daniel Tice. Why add another bad shot taker? There are going to be a lot of bad shot takers in the second unit already. Why add one who doesn't play defense and isn't going to be a facilitator? It doesn't make sense to me. Jamal Crawford, I loved watching that dude play when he was younger. I think he was super fun to watch play at this stage of his career, at this stage of his evolution. I'm not sure he's a helpful basketball player. And that's just how it is. And the Celtics, they already have, like I said, Rozier and Smart coming off the bench. They already have Kyrie and Jalen and Tatum and Hayward in the starting lineup. There's just no opportunity for him. And, you know, shit, maybe they just want him because he's the nicest guy in the world. He does seem like the greatest person in world history.
That's the one thing, man. If he just wants to come in and basically be like an assistant coach and just like hang out, be a good locker room presence. Every championship team needs some savvy vets around to school the youngins and teach them the ways of Kaizen. If he wants to come in and be that guy, I'm all for it. If he wants anything more than like 4 minutes a game, I think we have problems there. He needs the ball in his hands to be successful. And there are, I would say, four better point guards or ball handlers. I'd rather have Brad Wanamaker in the game just because I think he's a better defender at this point than Jamal Crawford and his 40-year-old body. It just doesn't make sense. He doesn't – presumably he's replacing Jabari Bird's spot on the roster, but he doesn't do any of the same things that Jabari Bird did in terms of playing defense and being, like, super athletic. It doesn't really make sense to me unless it's just we'll bring him in for some veteran leadership. This is the same guy who let Isaiah Thomas stay with him when he was at he was in high school in New York. So maybe he's just got a nice fatherly vibe that works well with the Celtics because they all have kids now.
I also think it would be great video opportunities of Kyrie Irving, Jamal Crawford one-on-one battles post practice. Maybe throw Terry Rozier in there. I think that could be glorious. So you got to think about that aspect of it too, but basketball wise, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
The super important aspect of the one-on-one post-practice battles.
Clearly what the Celtics should be thinking of.
Also garbage time. He would cross some dudes up in garbage time.
He would.
We should note that as ugly as the Jabari Bird allegations are, he's still on the roster for now. And the NBA.
He said he was taking a break from basketball. Like, I'm probably.
He's taking a break from the game. Yeah. And the NBA is doing an investigation. There's a chance, I don't know how big it is, that Jabari Bird's contract could be voided. So there's a lot going on with that last roster spot right now. And right now it is filled. Right. So I just thought that was worth putting out there.
Right. That is fair to mention because it couldn't happen until a roster spot opens, and presumably it would be Jabari Bird's roster spot. It's just that's a process that needs to play out, and there's an NBA-led process that needs to play out, and the Celtics aren't going to do anything about that until the NBA does something about that. Because if they void his contract, that comes off the books, and then that salary opens up. Then that if they just cut him now, then they have to pay him that salary, and that's on the books. So that's the process of opening up that roster spot for a potential Jamal Crawford signing, which none of us are on board with. So we'll leave it at that. Before we continue, I want to remind people that there is a lot going on with the Locked On Podcast Network. We are expanding, and we are moving into the world of fantasy football with another fantasy football show. And so you had the one fantasy football show that has turned into the Locked On Fantasy Experts, with guests every Monday, Tom Kucinich; Tuesday, Eric Edholm; Wednesday, Jeff Ratliff and Tyler Lochner. The other fantasy football show is now Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7. All the latest news, waiver suggestions, injury news, I know the Patriots just signed Josh Gordon, so you know, how does that impact things? Are they, you know, how is that going to play out fantasy wise? Go to those two Locked On Fantasy shows and Locked On Patriots for that matter. Find all of those shows where you get your podcasts, anywhere podcasts exist. Okay, back to the Rain and Jay's questions. The let's see. What perceived boring or the less likely wildly exciting trade happens this season that makes Brad Danny look like a genius or Jesus, maybe? It comes from @dunks_1019. What perceived boring trade or less likely wildly exciting trade happens this season that makes them look like geniuses?
I don't think they make a trade. Can we throw Brad Wanamaker in there as like the low key signing?
We can do whatever the hell we want, man. We make the rules.
Cause that was like Tice and Shane Larkin to a different extent than Tice, I think. But like those guys both came in with no fanfare and played solid roles for the Celtics. So if Brad Wanamaker can do that, and I know there are a ton of guards ahead of him right now, it could be tough. I don't really know what he'll provide because and I haven't seen him since he was at Pitt many years ago. But I'll go with Brad Wanamaker as my potentially like impressive low-key acquisition.
I'm going to go with whoever they trade Mook for in February after he's a little bit gruntled and maybe even disgruntled with his lack of playing time. I don't know who that person's going to be, but whoever they acquire for a Mook trade, it'll be genius.
Sure. I think we could look at a trade like that and in 3 years or 4 years when they have avoided the luxury tax and we say, hey, remember a few years ago they traded Marcus Morris for nothing and they saved this year $80 million because they're not paying the repeater tax or some stupid thing like that. That could be where they say, oh, look, they look like geniuses. So that's the best answer I got. At Ball and Opinions, who shoots a better three-point percentage, Brown, Hayward, or Tatum, and what percentage do you think they fall in?
Who's this up? Goes on with another question from Addie Shep, who asked who the best three-point shooter this year is going to be. So
yes.
Kyrie will be the best three-point shooter on the team. Of the three mentioned, I think Tatum shoots the best percentage. But I think it'll be lower than last year. First, because of regression. Second, because if all goes to plan, he'll be taking more difficult shots. He'll be taking off the dribble threes. He'll be taking just a wider array of more difficult shots because he can and because he's good at that stuff. But I do think it'll drive down his percentage from where it was last year.
I agree that there's a step back. I agree there's a step back for Tatum. I think Gordon Hayward is going to lead the Celtics and obviously be the better of the three. I think Gordon Hayward shoots somewhere around 43-44% from three this year.
So, sorry for cutting you off.
Don't apologize on a podcast.
So if Gordon Hayward shoots 43 or 44%, but Kyrie Irving shoots 40% on two or three more attempts per game, who's a better shooter?
I mean, if the guy who hits more shots, I guess. I mean,
it's a tough question.
It's kind of, you know, six of one, half a dozen of the other. Like, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to that. If Hayward shoots 43% and Kyrie shoots 40%, but he takes a couple more shots, that, you know, it's still impressive to be shooting more shots and be that efficient. I don't know. I think they're both going to be somewhere around the same amount of attempts. So whatever. We'll just say they're both really good and just call it a draw. Pick one. I'll take the other guy. I don't care. I'm the more I talk about it, the more I'm just completely buying into Hayward improving his shot. And I'm buying more and more and more into it. So I just keep putting more chips into the pot here. I'm buying into
it. Yeah, you've been bought into that one for a while.
Yeah, yeah. Now, as it continues and as I keep saying it, I feel like I really have to be hammering it hard. So I'm just going to keep going with it. Gordon Hayward, best three-point shooter on the team, improves his shot, blah, blah, blah. So I think he shoots somewhere in 43%. I think Tatum does take a step back. I think he shoots maybe somewhere around 40%, maybe a little lower, somewhere in that range. I think Jaylen Brown is somewhere in that same thing. We're looking at a bunch of these guys who are shooting 40% from three. That's awesome. So I'm good, man. This can be great.
Here's the real question. Does Horford finish with a higher percentage than everyone else? He was the second on the team last year, just under 43%. Or is it someone like Aaron Baines?
I think Ojale.
Ojale needs to start taking threes.
Ojale is going to shock the world.
Horford could shoot a higher percentage than he has in his entire career just with the amount of talent that's surrounding him. I don't think he's only going to shoot like three a game, maybe less.
Although he's kind of always only taken wide open threes. It's not like he'll be giving up like contested threes or anything.
Exactly why his percentage will be so good.
So he might get more volume. I think he might get more volume threes than he ever has in the past. That wouldn't shock me at all.
Yeah.
Because everyone's going to be drawing so much attention and Horford's going to be like, oh, okay, cool. I'll fire this three.
All right, what about Juice? Juice shot 39.5% from deep last year, averaged 4.4 threes a game. Do we think he gets better or worse? I'm buying into the more water raises all the boats. I'm pretty sure that's the saying. What's good for the goose is good for the collective geese.
I'm very interested to see what the hell you mean by these.
I think all the Celtics' offensive statistics in terms of efficiency – you would expect them to just go up. I think they're going to get better shots. Whether or not that means like counting stats or will go down because they'll be sharing the ball more, that remains to be seen. But I think just generally as a team, I expect the offense to be much better and just like each of their players will be taking better shots and thus have higher true shooting percentages, three-point percentages, etc.
That's interesting because you would think that, right?
I do. I just said I did.
But I mean, it makes sense. Like you add another all-star, two all-stars with Kyrie Irving from where it was in the playoffs. Everyone's efficiency should climb, especially given the fact that these pieces should fit together. But you look at Stephen Curry and his efficiency actually went down playing alongside Kevin Durant. He shot worse.
He was also coming off like the most insane shooting season in the history of time.
He was between 43% and 45.5% basically for his whole career until Durant got there, and then it's been 41.1 and 42.3. So,
but is that like
on fewer attempts?
Not being able to integrate Durant into like their motion offense and having a lot of like more stagnant Durant one-on-ones?
I'm not sure, but my only point is it's not always like you add more players and things get more efficient. Sometimes it's you add more players and some things get a little more complicated, and overall you get more efficient, and overall the team is better, and overall it's a lot harder to guard Stephen Curry and motherfucking Kevin Durant. But at the same time, there are things that the Celtics, I do believe, will have to figure out. And efficiency-wise, like how much higher is Tatum going to get? How much higher is Al Horford going to get? Like,
no, I think there is a possibility of when there are so many guys who shoot the ball and so many guys who can score the ball, that there is a possibility for a guy like Jaylen Brown to be like, this is my chance. I'm going to shoot no matter what. And that can lead to some lower efficiency shots rather than moving the ball and saying, okay, this is great that I'm catching the ball and moving the ball and things are happening, but like I need my numbers. And I throw Jaylen Brown out there, not to single him out as a guy who would do this. Could be anybody. But I could see myself sitting there saying, hey, my turn to shoot. And you put up shots every once in a while. They're like, all right, maybe I shouldn't have shot that. But there's the theoretical, which totally makes sense, of Jaylen Brown. I see it as Jaylen Brown should be a guy who can camp out in corners this season and just drill from corners. Because between Hayward and Kyrie and Tatum all being able to drive. Brown obviously able to drive as well, but like all of those guys out in the perimeter that are going to be able to drive, that Brown can set up shop in the corners and just catch and shoot and just drill 40%+ from three. But I also see the possibility of that, like, okay, if especially if they aren't running, especially if they aren't getting a lot of shots up, if they're walking the ball up, I can see somebody on the team getting impatient and going like, okay, you know what? I'm going to put the ball on the floor. I'm going to take a shot here. I don't give a shit what's going on. And there might be – that's part of what they need to figure out. It might be Kyrie. It might be Hayward. It might be any of those guys. So I can see – I can definitely see that possibility.
Can we just pause for a second? Sports Illustrated's Lee Jenkins has agreed to join the Los Angeles Clippers front office, according to Woj.
As what? Director of profile writing?
He's the executive director of research and identity. No, research and insight or research and identity? I'm not sure. There are two different Woj tweets that said two different things.
I think if it's the insight, it'll have a big impact. But if it's research and identity, I don't see it adding to the win column. That's crazy. Like, Jay, are you going to join the Celtics? Like, how is Lee Jenkins now employed by an NBA team?
I might have to hit up the Celtics and see if they need an executive director of research and insight.
If they need a director of Kaizen, I'm putting my application in now.
I love these weird titles. This started in Oklahoma City with Sam Presti with some weird titles for his guys. And now the executive director of research and identity.
No, and insight, I believe.
Insight. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Insight into what? That guy writes very good profiles of NBA players.
Like insightful, what is, insightful so, profiles. So
maybe he'll research people. And players.
And just figure out what makes Tobias Harris tick?
Yeah, yeah.
I look forward to reading those internal documents because that's going to be some fascinating stuff.
This one's a stunner.
Wow.
I mean, it's cool. It's cool. And it is
cool, but wow.
It's interesting from the Clippers. Very interesting from the Clippers. Very.
Huh. Is Doc writing a book?
Some Does he just say need someone? Insightful by the.
Sure.
I don't know. We need a director of insight to determine whether or not that's insightful.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that aside, let's get back to the questions. Let's see. At Ball and Opinions, who plays more minutes this season, Marcus Morris or Tito Three Sticks?
Tito.
That's a tough one.
I'm going Rozier too.
Yeah. I guess I would lean that way, but, you know.
Last year, Mook played 27 minutes a game, and Tito played 26 minutes a game, so it's pretty close. I just think with Gordon Hayward coming back, they're going to have way more depth on the wing, and so that seems to me would cut directly into Mook minutes.
Although, as Mook has put it on Twitter, there's always a role for a versatile bully.
That's true. That is true.
And I think I would put both Rozier and Mook as versatile bullies?
Versatile bullies. I think it's going to be close and probably play out a lot like it did last year. So, I don't know. I think they're both going to be in for a little bit of a reduction in minutes. So, 22,
yeah, I'd expect
23.
Tito's to go down because he played so many more minutes after Kyrie got hurt. So, that's a good question. I don't have an answer.
It'll be close.
I refuse to answer.
Okay. Last Rain and Jay's question then. It's a trade proposal.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it comes from Joshua at Joshua F. Smith 081. Rozier, Yabu, the Clippers pick, and the Celtics pick for Michael Bridges and Dragan Bender. Which I haven't even checked to see if that works financially. So here's his rationale. Don't need all the number ones next summer. Yabu is a bust, so only giving up 20 minutes of Rozier a night for two 40% three-point shooters, this is a good trade. Bender's only 20, can pass, shoot, defend, could become something. Okay.
Boo! This man!
Yeah, I'll just say this, and forget about whether this trade works or not. if you find yourself saying that one of the pieces that you're trading away is a bust, and I'm certainly not saying that Yabo is a bust. He's played one season. If you find yourself saying one of the players you're giving up is a bust, then the other team will not make that trade. Like, that's just, I think, a general kind of rule, especially when you're trying to deal young players for young players. You got the 10th overall pick. You've got, like, this is a common mistake, I think, that people make. When you take a player, you say, he sucks, let's trade him. And let's trade him to these guys because they got something. He's good. I want him. Why are they going to give up something good for somebody that sucks? For the picks, they just made that pick. That's the 10th overall pick. No.
Why would they give up Terry Rozier for a good player, for Dragan Bender, a not good player, and Bridges, a guy who hasn't done anything in the league? It just doesn't. And the Celtics would be giving up a pick.
Two picks.
It's all the way to crazy town. Like, yeah. What's going on here? Why in the world would the Celtics do that? You're going to give up your backup point guard just because some guys shoot decently from three? Like, Dragan Bender has not done, like, I'm pretty sure he's been in summer league for 4 years now because he's not good. And the Bridges guy, yeah, he was decent at Villanova, but you have no idea what he's going to be in the NBA. This is Looney Tunes. It's Animaniacs. It's poppycock.
I feel like people have been trying to get Bridges on the Celtics all summer.
Yeah. Phoenix is just not going to do it.
Phoenix would do that trade in a second, though.
No, they wouldn't. Why? To get rid of Bender?
They're not giving up anything, and they get Terry Rozier.
I don't think so. I don't think they're.
They get a starting point guard, and they give up a draft pick who we know nothing about, and the guardians of Dragan Bender.
They're not going to give up the 10th overall pick. They're just not going to do it. They just acquired him.
You guys are both on opposite sides of the puppy cock.
the puppy cock is not what I said here. But all right, Jay, you're the independent arbiter. Tell us who's right.
I think I'm the worst with fake trades, and
you're the worst with takes. I would ask you for like the past weeks.
No. I am also the biggest Bridges hater in the universe for no reason. I just don't think he's going to be a very good NBA player. I'm very convinced by now that Dragan Bender will not be a very good NBA player, and that's just a lot of picks and Rozier's to give up.
I think both sides just wouldn't do this. So Celtics would never offer, and even if they did offer, Phoenix would be like, no.
Poppycock on all sides.
Yeah, it's all nuts.
360 degrees of poppycock.
We're going to transition into the rain and junk after I tell you that the Lockdown Network is expanding with college shows coming up this week. Lockdown Wolverines, Buckeyes, Seminoles, plus we already got the Ducks, Nittany Lions, Bears, Crimson Tide, Wildcats, Razorbacks, Volunteers, and Cougars. Go find your favorite college show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. We transition into the Rain and Jay's Rain and Junk with this, a riddle from Sam Sheehan. A riddle. There are two men. One will only answer Rain and Jay's question. The other will only answer Rain and Junk questions. What question do you ask to tell which is which? Answer.
Ooh.
Is Al average?
Question. Yes. I'm going to say yes, he wins, because that would just send me, clearly the reigning junk guy, into a furious rage. And then I'm going to say Jay is the reigning Jay guy. He would just answer, I don't think he's average. That's a pretty
What a Jay King impression that was.
Yeah, that was well played.
Thank you.
I don't think
he's average.
No, he's not average.
Wow, man, I almost want to end it there. That was the reigning junk answer of all answers. But no, let's continue. Okay, you all have to at Ball and Opinions. He's getting a lot of airtime here. You all have to draft three players from the Celtics, snake draft order. You're the coach in a 3-on-3 tournament against each other. Okay, so we're drafting from the Celtics.
Who's first pick?
Who's the first pick? I don't know. We got to figure out the draft order. Who's the first pick?
So we're each who I'm the first pick.
All okay. right, go for
Jay's
it.
Jay's the first pick.
Jay, John, then me.
Sure.
See, you guys make out in this because you're going to get each two picks before I get my second pick. So
Jay, you
really,
literally just volunteered for first
just
pick.
Just went to take the first pick.
I was martyring myself.
Oh, classic God move.
Oh,
I see.
Jeez, yeah.
Yeah.
Because in this situation, having the first pick is the worst place to be.
I disagree.
Well, no, because you get the third round come around. It's really great. Yeah. I say we just go into the exercise and
do
have
it.
Fun.
Do it, Jay. Who's your first pick in a 3-on-3 tournament?
There's obviously Kyrie.
Yeah.
You could if anyone went anyone else, you're stupid. Kyrie's number one pick.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. I'm gonna go. I'm going to go with Gordon Hayward.
I'm going to go with my two picks, Jason Tatum and then Al Horford.
I like how you went Jason Tatum first.
It was a key distinction. He's a first-round pick. He's a great one-on-one player. I want Jason Tatum on that wall. I need him on that wall.
Yeah. I'm going to go – actually, see, now this is an interesting position to be in. I'm going to go with Jaylen Brown. In a 3-on-3 situation, Jaylen Brown, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think that one was pretty obvious. It wasn't too interesting from my standpoint. I'm going all point guards. I'm going with only point guards, Tito and Marcus Smart. Who's going to guard me? No one. No one's going to guard. And Smart's going to shut down all your big men.
That's true. I was going to say, who's going to guard Al Horford in the post? And then I realized Marcus Smart will easily.
Smart will. Then I am going to go with Mook Morris.
All right. My final pick. Oh, this is tough. I think I'm going to go with Aaron Baines. You need some toughness on that team. I'm going to go reverse Jay King and just go all big guys. You try and score on I don't know. I really didn't feel good about that pick as soon as I said it.
Well, yeah.
Who are my other options right here? I mean, Shemi, Tice, Kershawn Yabusele is always a good pick. No, I think I'm going to stick with
Wanamaker.
I mean, I shouts to Wanamaker.
That Philly toughness.
He's not a top nine Celtic. So, I think the answer has to be Aaron Baines. Right, he'll protect the rim. I don't know. I didn't feel good about having that last pick.
Okay, so people get to tweet us then what you think here. So Jay's got Kyrie, Smart, and Rozier. I have Hayward. Jaylen Brown, and Mook. And Jam's got Horford, Tatum, and Baines. I like my team. I like my team.
Can I replace Baines with Tice? Can I just have an amalgamation of the white tall white guys on the team? Can I just choose the tall whites?
The tall whites. So your third pick is the tall whites?
Yes, okay. If that's allowed. And I'm as reigning junk commissioner, I allow it.
I'm going to allow it.
All right.
You will allow it. Fine. Let's see. Addy Shep. Who'd make the best Boy Scout leader on the team?
that's a good question.
See, my inclination is to say Al Horford.
He is a natural leader.
He is, and it feels like he'd be a great role model to these kids. But like, it's also the Boy Scouts. You got to go out there. You got to be in the wilderness. You got to be making fires and pitching tents and potentially fighting whatever.
I feel like Tito can embrace that.
Tito had a GQ fashion shoot come out today. I don't think of him as much as a Boy Scout. I don't think of Tito as out in the woods starting a fire. That's just me.
Aaron Baines?
Yeah, I was gonna say Baines. Baines is an Aussie outback. Like, he's the type of guy that'd be like, Here's
he's
a twig.
With sharks.
Yeah. Like he's exactly the type of like, you know, yeah, totally. Totally.
And he's just got a little bit of crazy that you want in case something goes wrong out in the wilderness.
I mean, look, just it's inherent that if I'm out in the wild, I kind of want to be with an Australian. Like, I feel safer in a survival situation. It doesn't even matter with a background. If you have an Australian accent and we're in a survival situation, I inherently trust you to get us out.
Yeah, down under. They've been down under, hanging out in the bush, drinking Foster's.
You have not been able to get that right at all.
Nope.
No.
My J. King was way better.
Your J. King was very much way better. It's from all the times you mimic him saying you're stupid. You're really nailing it.
Well, think of all the times I've tried to say big Australian boat, and it really hasn't helped me whatsoever.
No, that's true. That's true. Okay, let's see. At Ed Keenan, of the remaining NBA free agents, who would add the most combat muscles or meme ability to the team?
As we all Google remaining NBA free agents.
Yeah. I don't think – well, I mean, look, meme ability, I think Jamal Crawford could give us some good meme ability.
Now I'm just reading the list. Mario Chalmers, he's pretty good for a meme here now and then.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Quincy AC has some combat muscles.
Oh, yeah. He definitely does.
Okay, fair enough.
Tim Frazier looks like the Smacks frog. I'm a huge Tim Frazier guy.
Okay.
That's about it.
That's about it. We got no good answers. We got no good answers.
No, because all the good guys with combat muscles or ability have been signed already.
Jordan Crawford, guys?
Oh, yeah. I guess. Ooh, I mean, is he an NBA free agent, though, still? Does he count?
He played on the Pelicans last year, didn't he?
No, that's true. He did get some run with the Pelicans. All right. Yeah. Okay. Sure. Yeah. That works.
Oh.
That works.
Oh, I got it all. It's Jahlil Okafor.
But he just signed. He's in New Orleans.
Well, NBA.com/free agent/2008/tracker has lied to me.
Yeah, he's got a deal with New Orleans, I think. Apparently, Okafor is like on a super diet. He's shredded. He's completely turned his life around, and he's going to get this big opportunity. Every time I hear anybody talk about Okafor, it's that he's figured it out. He's got his head on straight, and he's fixed his diet. He's fixed his work ethic, and he's just shredded, and you won't even recognize him.
So, let's see if he tries. That'll be fun.
Yeah. Him trying would be a good one. All right, let's end it here. Last one. We'll figure, Ball and Opinions. One last time for Ball and Opinions. He's got he's dominating the show.
Respect. He's got some Ball and Opinions, though.
Yeah. Okay, last one. If you could build a team for an escape room of three people from the Celtics, who are you bringing? Players only, no Brad.
Hold up. First, have any of you guys done an escape room?
What is an escape room?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you sign up and you pay money to be locked in a room, and then they give you a bunch of mental tricks and gymnastics and puzzles you have to figure out in order to get out of the room. So you're paying money to be basically in the Saw franchise, and it's like you're on the mythical island of Dr. Quandary. Shouts to that computer game of my youth. So we need some guys who are good at puzzles. And maybe some strong men in case there's a physical challenge. Shout out to Double Dare.
Yeah.
This sounds like a miserable thing to do with
you. I would love – the three of us should do it. We should just film J. King's reaction to it the whole time because I cannot imagine J. King willingly going to the escape room.
Hate it. You sit there like, this is so stupid.
the J. King.
Why can't we get buckets?
The J. King impressions on this podcast are not particularly flattering, I will say.
What's up with this, bruh? Why are we in here, bruh?
I don't like puzzles, B.
Well, for real.
All right, so who's the best puzzle master on the Celtics? No Brad.
I mean, again, it's got to be Al Horford. Like, Al Horford's, like, probably
done. I bet done Kyrie is a puzzle master. He's a creative soul.
He's a creative guy. Like,
He will think outside the box. He'll have the solution that none of us were thinking.
I think you got to have Kyrie there. I think you got to have Smart there, because even if things went wrong, he would find a way to just cheat the entire the entire thing, whatever the hell his escape room is. Sounds like Saw, man, like the Saw.
Saw. It's like Saw, but you volunteer for it.
Yes. But you need a level-headed guy. You need, like, a level-headed leader guy to kind of process.
I would say the answer is Gordon Hayward. He's experienced as a gamer, natural puzzles. He's probably been in one of these rooms virtually already. But I agree with Kyrie and Gordon Hayward, and I liked Al Horford. You put the big three. You put your best three guys in the escape room if you want the best results.
I bet Wanamaker is an escape room legend.
Yo, that's your 19th Brad Wanamaker reference this podcast.
I just want.
Do you have a Brad Wanamaker feature coming that you're trying to hype up?
I wish, man. I wish. But no. I barely know anything about Brad Wanamaker the person.
What about the escape room artist, Brad Wanamaker? I know lots.
Figured he's an elite escape room artist.
Okay.
The Celtics only sign escape room artists.
I am escaping this podcast right now. I'm going to wrap it up by saying thank you. So if you are not a subscriber, subscribe to this podcast. Go search for Locked On Celtics wherever you get your podcast. If you are a subscriber, a 5-star rating would be a great help. Give us a good review. Share the podcast. Spread the word. Tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. All right.
Solid.
Yo.
Good podcast, bruh.
Motherfuck both you guys.
yeah, that's all staying in.
Oh, perfect.